Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Hey there, all you crazy cats. Welcome to episode number 177 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
I'm Raymond.
If this is your first time joining us, this is one of our mini episodes. On our mini episode, we drink a single beer and get nerdy about a single beer topic. The previous show in your feed and the next one, depending on where you are listening, will be our big episodes. So those big episodes are two beers, as well as more chat about running and homebrewing and other stuff that's interesting us at the time. If you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Facebook or Apple or Google or whatever. There are places that you get podcasts. Leave
just
a review
anywhere.
There.
Just talk about us on your Facebook page or
Thank
Twitter.
You
any,
said that,
any place.
You
any
said
place.
That really well, Keith. Yes. I appreciate it. And speaking of Keith, Keith has a beer for us. What is the beer you've got in your hand for us to drink today, Keith?
We have a nice bottle of Coastal Empire Beer Company Wild Kingdom Blackberry Imperial Wheat. This is a 9.8% sour blackberry ale. It is fermented with Brett and lacto. So this was the beer that recently, this past weekend, we went to their 6th anniversary shindig. And this was the special offering they were releasing there for the first time, at least in bottle form, and serving with another 15 or so taps of beer. So we figured, being that this is Savannah Craft Beer Week this week when this podcast will come out, that maybe we should promote them a little bit and promote Savannah Craft Beer Week and Savannah beer in general. So we are having we're having that tonight.
Yeah, congratulations to Coastal Empire. It's always funny. I always forget how old they are. This was their sixth anniversary.
They contracted for quite a while, and it was, I think they've only been in that facility maybe 3, maybe 4 years. It's hard to say, but I think Southbound, which is a local Savannah brewery, was the first production facility open. I think shortly after they opened their facility. So if they're 4 years, they're 3 and almost, you know, kind of thing. So,
and that's not including Moon River, the brew pub.
Well, of course, yeah. I'm talking about standalone production facilities, not Moon River, who's been around for ages, really. So,
cool. Yeah, it was a good time. Really enjoyable. And we'll talk more about that anniversary party later. But right now, Raymond, why don't you describe the bottle, the label art here that we have with Wild Kingdom?
Well, it's before we were recording here, Keith kept calling it the darkest label ever, and it is a dark label. We got Blackberry Imperial Wheat, and so they ran with that color. It's a really deep, deep purple black, and has their logo on it, and that's pretty much what's going on here. You can see the text, and you can see the logo, and the rest of it's dark.
And that labeling style is consistent with their in-house printed wrappers for their cans. And that would be, what, Inshore Slam, which is their IPA, has a label like that.
Cocopina.
Well, Cocopina actually has a picture on it, right? I think that it
does.
Is not...
It has,
as, oh, does it?
Yeah, okay. The Blood Orange Goza, or the...
Citrus breeze, something like that.
If I start trying to name them, I'll get in trouble. But it's similar to those labels, which are kind of their phase two of the beers that they've been introducing of late. But this is on a 22-ounce bottle.
Yep. Yeah, I think this is the this is a 750. And I think this is the first time I remember seeing a 750. They've done 22s in general previously with a different kind of looking label. They've been slight variations, but just about the same. So this is, I was a little surprised to see it when they started handing out bottles towards the end of the evening. I was like, wow, that is different. It was kind of, like I said, on the dark side. I mean, I'm not sure how it's going to pop on the shelf necessarily, but
that
there's...
Was- That was my next question. This is for distribution, right?
I would imagine. So I don't think they only did like a handful of bottles for you know, a brewery event. But anyways,
hey, it's, it could be there. Let us know.
It could be. Yeah. Well, the, you know what? I'll tell you what. There is no barcode on this.
Oh,
so so I don't know. Maybe this was just only for this event. It will be interesting to see. There is, but yeah, just looking at it real quick, there is no barcode on that label.
Well, all right. We've also got it poured into Belgian glasses. What does this beer look like in a glass?
Well, this is it's really cloudy, as you would expect from a wheat beer. It's very kind of thick. You don't see through it very much. Kind of on the purplish, reddish brown spectrum. It's kind of, it looks like blackberry juice or prune juice or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's definitely what I was thinking about too, that idea of a blackberry juice or more of, like you said, a prune juice, perhaps like a really dark ruby apple juice-ish with the consistency. It's got an okay amount of lacing on it in the glass.
It poured with what you might expect from a kind of Brett wheat. I mean, the head wasn't plentiful or thick or overwhelming, but it had a nice head. It did kind of subside pretty quickly. You know, it kind of came down, but it was pretty nice when we were first pouring them into the glass. And now we've got this kind of slight ring around there. I'm not getting too much. I mean, I pull the glass away and it kind of laces and nothing's sticking behind, you know, but you wouldn't really expect that with a wheat ale anyways.
What are you getting on the aroma, Keith? There's a...
It's very typical for Brett beers. It's got that kind of funky dry hay thing. There's a light bit of fruit kind of in the background. I actually really kind of like the aroma a lot. It would, you know, I mean, if you picked up, you know, we're talking about, you know, what we think of as local beer. I mean, if you pick this up, I mean, I don't see this being too out of the spectrum of some of the national brands that you would think of doing, you know, Belgian or Brett aged or sour beers kind of thing. It's not tart, but it's got a nice kind of Brett, like, you know, earthy, funky thing with a little bit of fruit behind it.
Yeah, that little bit of fruit hopefully is setting the palate for what we're about to experience with the taste. Guys, go ahead and take a sip there. We were able to go ahead and try some of this at the anniversary party. At least
actually,
I didn't.
No, okay. I
well, nope, I wasn't at the party.
Yeah, well, no, Raymond had other things to do. He couldn't hang out with us. No, I specifically knew I was coming home with a bottle, so I decided not to try this beer, and they had lots of other beers to sample. Yeah. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna try the other things. I'll get a chance to try this. So it's nice. It's got a really dry tartness to it. If that's the way to describe it, the fruit comes through. I'm not going to call it overly complex, but it's really pleasant. It's a pleasant kind of dry, tart, bready kind of thing. The lacto, maybe that'll develop over time, but, you know, I think of lacto and I think of like super kind of yogurty sourness, and I'm certainly not getting that at this point. Maybe that's something that will develop over time in the bottle or in the kegs, or I don't know if they've barrel aged some of this further. It might develop, but it's got a really nice Brett character and a nice kind of, you know, little bit of tart fruitiness going on. It's really pleasant.
Yeah, I agree. And I might even go so far as to call it rich, the sweetness in it and the way that the mouthfeel is nice and medium. I feel like it's more full than a lot of sours that I drink that are just really all about that acidity or the tartness or that kind of a rush to it.
Yeah.
And this one is much milder when it comes to any sort of acidity or tartness, but I really like the way that the sweetness from the fruit holds up against all of that.
Well, I mean, this is advertised also as a wheat beer. I mean, it is an imperial wheat. So I would think about imperial wheat, maybe not so much in the wheat wine category, but I would expect some wheat character, and I do think that comes through. At 9.8%. I wouldn't say this is particularly boozy, but given that it's a big kind of wheat beer, some of that does kind of, you know, parlay into the flavor a little bit, but I think it's totally appropriate for the ABV and the kind of the style and what's going on. It's not overbearing, but it's to be expected, and I think it's right at the right level.
For these mini episodes, we drink a single beer and we talk about a single beer-related subject. With this one, we didn't do a lot of pre-gaming to say exactly what our angle was going to be here. Are we going to make this an Imperial Wheat beer, or are we going to make this... we've kind of done some different fruit ones. I don't think we've done blackberry specifically. Are we going to do... What's our angle here? What's our angle with this one? Anniversary parties?
Maybe, yeah. You know,
we'll see how the episode develops.
Yeah, exactly. We're winging it here.
Oh, that's so different than normal. Yeah. But as Keith mentioned, he and I did get a chance to go. We went with our friend Corbin, and when we got there were lots of other local beer folks there, which was great.
Yeah, it was. It seemed like the event was populated mostly with people I at least recognized. Mm-hmm. I might not have known exactly where I knew them from, and some people I know exactly who they were.
Well, you worked with about half of them.
Yeah, I mean, like after We Service Brewing closed up, about half of the tasting room staff and the co-owners and everyone just sort of piled in. But there was a lot of people I recognized from the beer distributor that we share, from local Facebook page folks. The Beer Label Society folks were there, and they had done a collaboration beer with them, and so that was available. There was people from local beer stores and just local beer nerds that, you know, show up to a lot of these kinds of things. Of course, our friend Matt was there, and Jonathan, who's a local guy, works at Savannah Bee Company. He's big into beer and shows up to a bunch of these events. So there was a lot of people that it almost seemed like a family event, you know, in a lot of ways, which was really nice. It was, every time I turned around, there was someone to, hey, how you doing, and chit chat and talk to them. So I really like that. It was a really nice aspect to that event.
Yeah, I completely agree. It felt rather intimate, you know, and I think that really worked to our favor, being there, like you said, seeing people that we know, perhaps catching up with people we hadn't seen in a while, or at least not had a chance to talk to in that kind of a situation. Had a food truck there, taco truck there, doing food.
Dark Shark, which is, we don't have a ton of food trucks here in Savannah, but we have a handful, and I rather enjoyed the tacos that I got. They were good, and nice compliment with some hush puppies. They were a little drizzled with a little bit of honey, and so it was nice to have a food option. I think we kind of checked in and got all of our stuff that we needed, and got a quick beer, and then went right out and got some food, which is a smart thing to do. Loaded up with a little bit of food before we started drinking. So yeah, that was good, and it's always nice to see a food option out at any event that is involving a lot of alcohol. So
yeah, also good to drink a lot of water. Not something I did. Got to keep reminding myself that.
Hydrate. One for one.
One to one.
One to
that
one
is how it's supposed to work, Daddy-O, and that is not what I did. So long night for me. Raymond, what did you do while we were out living it up?
I installed a floor.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool, bro.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Like the whole floor, or most of the floor?
No, I did the whole thing.
The whole thing?
Whole thing.
Wow.
Did you
drink any beer while you were doing that?
I actually don't think I did.
Okay, well, the floor is probably better for it.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I'm going to say probably so. We've got a little bit of listener feedback. We'll talk about that real quick, and then we'll jump back into some more local goings-on with Craft Beer Week and what's happening with the Georgia beer laws. Our pal Mike Sankey from across the old pond sent us an email. Mike has checked in every now and then to let us know how his home brewing's going. If you don't visit our Facebook page, you really should. You can find some nice updates from guys like him who are letting us know what the home brewing life is like. And this was his email. Hi guys, as ever, love the podcast. As a true Englishman, just have to correct a few Englishisms. I always like to get an email that starts with, you're horribly wrong about something because you did not pay attention to probably basic facts. I'm pretty sure this feedback came right after our Perry episode, where we were talking a little bit about ciders and that sort of thing.
Well, we know nothing about that anyways, so.
I say that.
Well, we're Americans. We're loose with the facts anyway.
Oh boy. Hey, sure. All right. So he talked about, all right, I'll just go back to reading. CAMRA, C-A-M-R-A, of which I'm a member, the Campaign for Real Ale, which I have actually heard of, is an independent voluntary consumer organization headquartered in England, which promotes real ale, real cider, and the traditional British pub. With over 185,000 members, it is now the largest single-issue consumer group in the UK. There you go. And I know of CAMRA because my friend Joe, who ran the Black Sheep Pub in Costa Rica, was a member of CAMRA, even though he was in Costa Rica. Real Ale is the name coined by the Campaign for Real Ale in 1973 as a type of beer identified as beer brewed from traditional ingredients, matured by secondary fermentation in the container from which it is dispensed, and served without the use of extraneous carbon dioxide. The heart of the definition is the maturation requirements. If the beer is unfiltered, unpasteurized, and still active on the yeast, it is a real ale. It is irrelevant whether the container is a cask or bottle. Hmm. And that's interesting. So I always thought real ale had to be served from a cask.
Yeah, or beer engine cask kind of thing. Yeah.
So not CO2 driven, nitro, etc. Although I bloody love those beers too. I'm not going to do an accent. Sorry, Mike. I know you were actually just baiting me to do that, but I'm not because I respect you. The Shire County. So this is what makes me think this was the Perry episode because I believe it's at Harvard.
Yeah.
are pronounced slightly differently. This may help. And he linked to a YouTube video, which I have not watched, and I will not watch. I appreciate it, but I'm really
like
not interested.
Like I said, we're loose with the facts, right?
I'm really not interested in being a better person. So anyway, Mike's going to come back over to the States later on in this year, and he's got some ideas. Maybe he'll drop some beer our way or, if we can get him on the podcast, we'd love to have you, Mike. You could pronounce some Shire words for us. He's also got a meaty 10 to 12% beast in the carboy. Going to flavor 1 gallon of that with cherry juice and vanilla pods and another gallon on chips. There you go.
Nice.
So thanks, Mike. Mike, I should have saved this for our homebrewing episode because that would have filled that time right
now. Way to go.
Yikes. Well, I'm trying to put the feedback in the mini shows. A little bonus for listening to the shorter episodes.
Suckers.
I don't know what I was thinking either. So we mentioned that it's Savannah Craft Beer Week this Indeed. Week, and venues all over town hosting different events with breweries, and both local and from around the state and around the nation. The usual players we've got here in town, which is great to see, and great to have that come out. And that all culminates, the final event is this weekend, which is the Savannah Craft Brew Fest over on Hutchison Island.
Yep.
I did see they're making a lot of changes to that this year based on some of the feedback they got last year. Because of inclement weather last year, they've decided to actually hold the event inside this year.
Okay, yeah.
Which is that makes sense.
It's always, the heat, always too hot. You think it's going to be a nice, you know, September, early September, but it's never is.
Never.
And I think those breweries who get positioned outside end up not representing themselves as well as they might like to. So that does make sense. So I think that does make sense. It's not as picturesque, and it's not maybe as pleasant for pictures and advertising and all that kind of thing. But at the same time, People are there to sample beer, not to sweat outside.
Yeah, it's on the Savannah River. You can go outside with your beer. So there is an outside area, and they do have food trucks this year.
Okay.
So they have three food trucks. Right. Again, food. Yep. Good.
Good.
That was always something that
I felt good.
Was,
water as well. One for one.
Yeah. And before, it was the kind of conference center food, like the chicken fingers and whatever. So it's nice to have an alternative choice for that.
Talking about one for one, if you want your brew fest tip for the day, when you they usually have water set up to rinse out your glass before you get a new sample. Don't just dump it in the bucket. Drink it.
That water.
You might get your one for one. Hydrate while you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Don't be wasteful. Drink that water. Good tip. For the VIPers this year, the VIP is catered. Bowtie Barbecue is doing the food for the VIP, so you're taken care of if you're inside doing that too. Did I miss anything, Raymond? Are those the highlights of what was?
Those are the highlights. They'll have music as well.
Football on TV, cornhole extravaganza, most
likely. There's some classes this year too. Nice.
The bell is supposed to come later. It came way too early. All right. Speaking of the bell, I think it's time that we spice up this episode with a visit to Keith's spreadsheet.
going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this.
What? these new microphones can't pick up anything like that. It's time of the show. On our mini episodes, we turn to Keith's spreadsheet. This is Keith's epic document of his craft beer journey over the past 7 years? 8 years?
Eight.
Eight.
I think it's eight. Eight seems
years?
Excessive.
Ten
no,
years.
Wait, no, go the other way.
11 years of Keith's beer.
I'm going to say 5 to 6 years.
Five to
probably.
6 years. That's fair. And where Keith has gone through and documented the beers that he's consumed and written short reviews to remind himself. It's important to remind yourself. And so I'm going to read one of those short reviews, and we will see if Raymond can guess what beer it is from the review. He's doing great, you guys. I'm pretty sure he is 95% over the history of the show. So we will see how he does today. This is an American Wild Ale. American Wild Ale.
That narrows it down.
No ABV or package date is listed on the bottle. That helps you some more, too.
Oh, I know it.
This beer goes through three fermentations. First, in the primary with the lacto. The second occurs later when a Saison yeast is added. And finally, a tertiary fermentation is spurred by the addition of the fruit. The beer pours fairly clear with the color of cranberry juice and has a pretty nice light pink head for several minutes. A good bit of the blackberries and some funky wine-like notes make up the majority of the aroma. The taste is certainly tart and fruit-forward, blackberry cranberry juice laden, with some serious lacto-tartness dominating the taste. The Saison yeast seems to be adding some complementary funkiness. A touch of vinegar comes in right at the finish. The mouthfeel has a dryness that has a nice bit of prickly carbonation, a quality beer that certainly places a toe or two above... A toe or two? A toe or two just over the Is It Beer line. Not something I would want to drink all the time, but this was a fun pickup. 4 out of 5, A-.
Wow.
There's a lot of information.
There's a lot of information, but I don't think any of it was, like, useful. And figuring out who did this.
Yeah, I have no idea. I remember the three fermentations, but I can't place the label that I read that off of or what, you know, website I went to. So I'm actually at a bit of a loss here myself.
The review is up at brewdrinkrun.com if you want to have an open book and you don't have a computer in front of you or your phone. Okay, that's not going to work. Guest time.
All right, so guest time. I'm going to go with the brewery first. I'm going to say Allagash.
No. I mean, you heard some keywords in there that I would be... Yeah, totally. The Saison piece of it, the, you know, their house yeast, obviously, thinking about that. And then some of the other elements. I could totally see Allagash doing a beer that was a tart blackberry something. They probably have. I'm sure they have. But no.
Jester King.
Nope. Keep going.
Well, I've had a Jester King
beer. Oh, Wicked Weed? Someone.
Nope.
Oh, damn it.
Getting closer geographically. But not close. Closer.
Closer.
Not close, but closer. So it's not in Asheville, but it's in the south.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Southeast.
In the south.
So Westbrook.
In the southeast.
No. This is great. This is riveting. Riveting podcast entertainment.
All right.
Further south.
Southeast. It's further south.
Though. Yeah. We drink a lot of their beers in the podcast. They have a membership club that you both have been members of.
All right.
Of.
So Cigar Cities.
Okay. All right.
I have no clue.
All right, is it okay? Is this they've done this for several years? Is this okay? So is one of them Guava something? Okay.
Yes, I'm nodding my head, which again, bad for podcasts.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So is there a field of fruit involved in the name?
Yes, correct. There is a fruit in the name.
Okay.
Cigar City. There's a fruit in the name.
Blackberry Guava.
So close.
And then what would be a field of fruit maybe called?
Orchard.
No. That would be trees. other kinds of fruits.
Fruit trees.
With a G. Starts with a G.
This is terrible.
I know.
We just end this now.
Grove.
Yeah. The Lactobacillus blackberry grove. If you got any of those words, I was going to give you credit. I was going to give you full credit on that one. But, you missed one out of the 100 episodes we've done of many episodes. Yeah. So you're down to like a 96%. I don't think that's bad. I don't think that's bad at all.
96 incorrect.
I can't. Like, all I know is the percent. I don't know what number it goes with. I don't keep very good notes on these
episodes.
With
the facts.
Loose with the facts. And I'm proud to be. All right. Final thoughts on our 6th anniversary beer from Coastal Empire Brewing Company in Savannah, Georgia. Fellas, what do you think?
Well, it's highly enjoyable.
Yeah, I think
really,
so too.
It really was. It was very well done.
I hope this
well
is
done.
On the shelves. I'll pick up a bottle.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think this is totally accessible for people who either say they don't like sours,
right,
or maybe have not had a sour and are just kind of curious to get a little taste.
I wouldn't even really call this a sour. It's just got some kind of wild yeast, and it might develop over time, but it's not sour. It's got a little tartness to it. It's got a little funkiness to it.
Right.
But when you say it's approachable, I think it's totally approachable for those kinds of words on the label and not knowing what those kinds of yeast can do. This could introduce a lot of people to what, you know, wild yeast strains have to offer.
Yeah, and I think the two keywords there are tart and funky, and they both neither of those are intense in this. So if those are both the new words for you when you're thinking about beer, and you can have access to this 100%, pick it up, trade for it. I think that this is one of those beers too that's a great trade extra. I don't know what it's going to be at retail, if it goes to retail,
right,
or if it's just going to be a brewery only pickup. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of brewery only pickups, I guess we'll close out talking about with the finally changes happening in the Georgia beer laws
on Friday. Yeah, I think Keith needs to talk about this.
I think Raymond wrote about it.
I'm not sure how much I'm affected, not affected. Well, time will tell. I mean, as to what the demand is or not demand is, but you know, and for the, I mean, now at this point, as for the, you know, 50 states of America, Georgia is finally in the position where breweries can sell a pint or as many pints as, you know, someone can, you know, handle. Mm-hmm.
One for one, everybody. One glass of water.
Yeah, one for one. But it's one for one might be the name of this podcast. But anyways, it's one of those situations where, you know, it's where we can sell you up to a case equivalent of beer and sell you a few pints of beer and come in and sit down like it's a bar. So it's really exciting. This is happening, this week.
In our life Friday.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so as of Friday, you know, you can go to the local breweries here and the three of them that exist currently and buy a beer. And I think that this will create more breweries locally. Mm-hmm. I think that the change in the laws will cause probably a good bit of explosion of Georgia craft breweries. People won't be as maybe hesitant to open their brewery and start their dream of craft brewing. So it's a very exciting time. We're certainly looking forward to it, and we're gonna have a big block party celebration down at the brewery, and hopefully the staff can handle the mayhem, you know, that's going to, you know, go with that. And there's a lot of, and be patient, you know, for every brewery that's suddenly also a bar, you know, understand that there's some changes going on there. So we're going to have to work out how it's going to be different. Is it going to be different? What the changes are? But I think, at least locally, I think here in Savannah, everyone's doing their best to get it together and be ready to serve you on September 1st.
Yeah, and speaking of new breweries, I'm sure there are several that are in planning, but Two Tides has gotten their tanks in. So Two Tides Brewing, a new brewery here in Savannah, that's going to be in the Starland District that really is looking to be kind of a neighborhood brewery, which that's the sort of thing that if they can set that up and with the law change, right. mm-hmm. be a place you can just go get a beer and
yeah,
not,
go home.
They don't have to
go
worry
home
about
after
food.
On the way home after work, have a couple of pints. No biggie, you know.
Yeah. I was just mm-hmm. attacked by a moth. Yeah, so
moth attack.
So yeah, it's really cool to see that sort of thing happening in Savannah. If it's happening here, I'm sure it's happening in. You know, I'd like Atlanta needs another brewery, but
yeah,
I'm sure
exactly.
Atlanta's getting another brewery. And I'm sure there are more breweries all over that are in planning.
I think this will expand craft brewing in Georgia beyond the few major mm-hmm. cities that we have in the yep. state. I think you'll see more breweries in Macon and Valdosta and some of these small places because they will reach a local audience who can come in, have two or three pints, keep them supported, and help them grow yep. just by simply selling beer. And that's what's really worked in a lot of other states. And some of those breweries have grown to be bigger and to end up distributing. So I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, because the barrier to entry is so high with opening a production yes. facility. I yeah. mean, it's easily millions of dollars once you are like a full, large, you know,
right.
a running capacity brewery. And if you start too small, there are all kind of problems associated
right.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it really does give you the opportunity to put your recipes out into the world,
yeah.
get real feedback, you know, and then slowly grow or not.
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
could just be the mom and pop corner brewery, as wonderful yeah. as that sounds.
Yep, yeah, indeed.
All right. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Twitter. At Brew Drink Run. If you like the show, don't forget to rate or review us wherever you grab your podcast. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week. Sure. Cheers.
Yep.
Really held it together.